Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Lincoln SSS, Davis: The War of the Presidents by Nigel Hamilton, is a dual biography and Civil War leadership history centered on Abraham Lincoln and Jefferson Davis as rival presidents during the national crisis of 1861 and 1862. Rather than treating the war primarily as a sequence of battles, Hamilton frames it as a contest between two executives who had to define national purpose, direct military strategy, manage subordinates, and persuade divided publics. The book emphasizes the contrast between Lincoln, a politically gifted but militarily inexperienced lawyer, and Davis, a former soldier and Secretary of War whose credentials did not automatically translate into effective presidential command. Its purpose is to show how leadership under pressure shaped the early course of the Civil War, especially as Lincoln moved toward emancipation as both a moral and strategic instrument. The result is a political, military, and biographical account of how two competing visions of America confronted each other through presidential decision-making. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the Civil War as a contest between two rival presidencies. Hamilton distinguishes the book by treating the Civil War not only as Union against Confederacy, or Grant and Lee on the battlefield, but as an executive struggle between two men claiming to lead legitimate American governments. This framing gives the early war a different center of gravity. Lincoln had to preserve constitutional authority without appearing to destroy the liberties he claimed to defend, while Davis had to convert secessionist enthusiasm into the functioning institutions of a new nation. The comparison is especially powerful because the two leaders shared some biographical parallels, including Kentucky origins, yet came to embody incompatible political futures. Lincoln represented a Union whose survival increasingly depended on rejecting the expansion and then the protection of slavery. Davis represented a Confederacy built around independence, state sovereignty, and the preservation of a slaveholding social order by following both presidencies in parallel. Hamilton makes clear that the war was decided not only by armies, but by how each leader interpreted legitimacy, risk, public opinion, and national purpose. Secondly, Lincoln's growth from uncertain commander to strategic wartime president. A central theme is Lincoln's development under conditions for which his prior experience had not prepared him. Hamilton presents him as a president who began the war with limited military knowledge and a tendency to misread the intentions or capacities of important subordinates. This emphasis does not diminish Lincoln. It makes his later authority more intelligible. He had to learn how to evaluate generals, understand military timing, and balance political pressures from border states, abolitionists, conservative unionists, and anxious voters. His difficulties with George McClellan are especially important because they reveal the danger of delegating strategy to a commander whose caution and political attitudes conflicted with the needs of the administration. Lincoln's evolution lay in recognizing that presidential leadership required more than selecting talented officers. It required defining the war aim, forcing action when necessary, and connecting military operations to political consequences. Hamilton, therefore, portrays Lincoln's greatness as adaptive rather than automatic, rooted in learning, endurance, and eventual clarity. Thirdly, Jefferson Davis's military credentials and political limitations. Hamilton's comparison gives Davis serious attention as more than a symbolic antagonist. Davis entered the conflict with advantages that Lincoln lacked: military education, combat experience, and prior service as United States Secretary of War. These credentials made him an obvious leader for a Confederacy expecting war, and they helped him project seriousness in the early months of secession. Yet the book also highlights the limits of expertise when it is not joined to flexible political leadership. Davis had to hold together a coalition committed to state sovereignty while also building a centralized war effort, a contradiction that weakened Confederate governance. His personal reserve, contentious relationships, and difficulty generating broad popular confidence complicated that task. Hamilton's treatment suggests that Davis understood war in technical and honor-bound terms, but struggled with the wider presidential challenge of persuasion, coalition management, and national imagination. The contrast with Lincoln is therefore not simply soldier versus lawyer. It is a study of why prior military experience did not guarantee superior command in a political war. Fourthly, emancipation as the decisive link between morality, manpower, and diplomacy, the book places Lincoln's move toward emancipation at the center of the presidential duel. Hamilton treats the Emancipation Proclamation not as an isolated moral declaration, but as a strategic decision that changed the meaning and practical conditions of the war. By making slavery a direct target of Union policy, Lincoln attacked the labor system that sustained the Confederate economy and military logistics. He also made foreign recognition of the Confederacy more difficult, because European governments would have had to support a rebellion openly tied to slavery. This diplomatic dimension matters because Confederate hopes depended in part on outside sympathy, trade, or recognition. Emancipation also altered the Union cause by making preservation of the nation inseparable from a broader transformation of freedom. Hamilton's emphasis is that Lincoln reached this position through pressure, failure, and calculation, not through a simple pre-written path. The policy stands in the book as the moment when presidential decision reshaped military necessity into a new national purpose. Lastly, cabinets, generals, and first families as pressures on executive authority, although the book is organized around Lincoln and Davis. Hamilton broadens the analysis by showing how presidential leadership depended on the people surrounding each man. Cabinet members, military commanders, political allies, family members, and critics all shaped the room for decision. In Lincoln's case, the difficulty was not only the Confederacy but also unreliable advisors, rival ambitions, public impatience, and generals who resisted or delayed his strategic aims. These pressures reveal why wartime command is never a purely individual act. But a president must absorb information, detect disloyalty or self-interest, and decide when to tolerate dissent and when to impose direction. Davis faced comparable challenges in building Confederate authority among leaders who prized local autonomy and often distrusted centralized power. By attending to these networks, Hamilton avoids reducing the war to personality alone. The supporting figures show how institutions can magnify or obstruct presidential will. The result is a study of executive power as a practical process shaped by trust, discipline, communication, and political timing. In conclusion, Lincoln vs. Davis is best suited for readers who want a leadership-centered account of the Civil War rather than a conventional battlefield chronicle. It will interest students of presidential history, Civil War readers looking for a fresh organizing frame, and anyone studying how political executives operate under existential pressure. Its intellectual benefit lies in showing that the outcome of the war depended not only on military resources or famous generals, but also on how two presidents interpreted their roles, selected subordinates, communicated purpose, and adapted to failure. The book is also useful for thinking about national division, because it examines a moment when constitutional disagreement became military conflict, and competing definitions of America had to be resolved by war. Compared with many Lincoln books, Hamilton's account stands out by sustaining a dual focus on Davis and by making the rival presidency structure central rather than incidental. Compared with broad Civil War histories, it narrows the lens in a productive way, using biography to clarify strategy, diplomacy, emancipation, and executive authority. Readers seeking exhaustive campaign detail may need supplementary military histories, but those seeking a concentrated analysis of presidential decision-making will find its comparative approach especially valuable. If you would like to support Nigel Hamilton, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.